A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is it possible that he, who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for the sake of us all, will not grant us all things besides? Who shall bring a charge against God's chosen ones? God, who justifies? Who shall condemn them? Christ Jesus, who died, or rather was raised up, who is at the right hand of God, and who intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Trial, or distress, or persecution, or hunger, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? As Scripture says, for your sake we are being slain all the day long. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. Yet in all this, we are more than conquerors because of him who has loved us. For I am certain that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, neither height nor depth, or any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Into your hands, O Lord, I entrust my spirit. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress, for your name's sake. You will lead and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. My trust is in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad of your kindness. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not fear those who deprive the body of life, but cannot destroy the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for next to nothing? Yet not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, every hair on your head has been counted, so do not be afraid of anything. You are worth more than an entire flock of sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Verbum Domini. When we listen to today's scripture readings, many thoughts will obviously come to mind. Three for me is steadfast, perseverance, spiritual courage. And today we're going to celebrate the memorial of four Franciscan martyrs, St. Nicholas Tavelec and his three Franciscan companions, who are profound examples of the lessons contained in our scripture readings today, and who embraced Jesus' message conveyed in so many ways, in so many passages within the Gospels, to be not afraid. We are with Jesus today within chapter 10 of St. Matthew's Gospel, that part of the evangelist's Gospel known as the Mission Discourse, where Jesus commissions his 12 apostles to go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In an instruction just before what we proclaim today, Jesus' first words to his apostles are to fear no one. The actual instruction from Jesus in Matthew's gospel is, so have no fear of them, or therefore do not be afraid of them. But be afraid of who? This gospel passage is part of a longer instruction from Jesus to his apostles where he warns them, behold, I am sending you like sheep amidst wolves. And beware of people, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you for my sake. And you will be hated by all because of my name. So as Jesus states so many times within the Gospels, and as he declares within this Gospel passage today, do not fear, do not be afraid when confronted with adversity, whatever form it may take. Jesus entrusts to his apostles, to his disciples, he entrusts to each and every one of us the gospel message of salvation, to boldly proclaim this message in the full light of truth from every nook and cranny, from every housetop, without fear or trepidation, because he is the totality of our lives. And for the love of him and his promise of our eternal salvation, we cannot do otherwise than stand in his light and proclaim the truth of the Gospels. But Jesus is being honest. He's being upfront with all his disciples. Discipleship will not be an easy path in a world that often does not want to embrace or hear the message, a world that is often dominated by worldly things with all of its allurements associated with values that displace the gospel, as many reach and yearn for success and achievement of power, material possessions, comfort, pleasure, more than commitment and integrity to the gospel message. A world that may forcibly convey other values contrary to Christian beliefs and be so deaf to the world of Christian truth and be so intolerant of it, so fearful of conversion to it, that those who deliver the message of Christ may be maligned, may be persecuted, may be killed. But as St. Paul conveyed in his letter to the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Will persecution or anguish or distress or any other peril separate us from Christ? St. Paul emphatically states, no, neither death, nor life, nor present, nor future things, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we abide in these truths through embracing what the psalmist in our responsorial psalm sings, Lord, be my rock and my refuge. For your name's sake, lead and guide us, because our trust is in the Lord, who saves us in his kindness and protects us from the plottings of men. So the disciple's pathway to stand firm in the faith, to live it with integrity, to live it with completeness, to share it openly and boldly, may lead to persecution. It may even lead to martyrdom. But as Jesus conveys, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but who cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and soul in Gehenna. Gehenna, a place of misery, a place of hell. Jesus is calling all of us to remain steadfast, even in the face of whatever the persecution may be. If we acknowledge him in the truths of our faith, despite any torment or hostility or rejection, even if it comes from friends and family, Jesus will acknowledge us before his heavenly Father. But should we ignore the true reign of God and succumb to the reign of the world? Should we reject Christ, deny him in favor of popularity, acceptance, personal safety in this world? Jesus is very, very explicit. Whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father. Now we know there are places in this world where it is hazardous to be a Christian, where such dangers existed from Christ's time on earth to the present day, from verbal harassment to hostile feelings, attitudes, and actions Christians in certain areas with severe religious restrictions encounter on a daily basis, physical and emotional distress, and discrimination, and even death for the profession of their faith. Some nonprofit organizations that are focused on serving persecuted Christians indicate that upwards of 340 million Christians worldwide are currently facing high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's almost 1 in 7 Christians globally experience some form of oppression because of the faith. Christians, especially in Africa, are seeing higher rates of persecution through targeted killings and abductions. Christians in Asia are experiencing building attacks and arrests. And North Korea tops the list of the most dangerous place for Christians. Reports indicate that it is the most oppressive country for the Christian faith, where even owning a Bible can result in execution or imprisonment in brutal labor camps. Despite these extreme dangers, the underground Christian communities continue to grow, demonstrating incredible faith and resilience in the face of persecution. Now, my friends, these are not scare statistics, but it calls for us to acknowledge our Christian faith, that it has been and continues to be under attack. It calls for us to embrace St. Paul's message that we are one body in Christ. And if one part suffers, wherever it may be, all parts suffer with it. It calls for us to be fervent in prayer for the conversion of hearts towards Christians everywhere. It calls for us to clasp ever more firmly to our beliefs and to endure through whatever hazard may come our way as we live our faith. It calls for us to celebrate the martyrs to our faith, such as Nicholas Tavelek and his Franciscan companions, whose memorial we celebrate today. Now, the personal stories of these Franciscan missionaries, which intertwined back in 1383, when coming from different places in Europe, they flowed into the Franciscan convent of Mount Zion in Palestine, where the Order of St. Francis has been for centuries the custodian of the holy places of Christianity. Now, these friars minor, Nicholas Tavelic and his companions, found themselves in that Franciscan monastery, where they lived for 8 years, and according to the rule of St. Francis, they performed their duties for the care of places in the sanctity of life and death of Jesus, and trying to do apostolate work in the Muslim world, where Mount Zion was almost like an island amid a sea of Muslims. And for those first years, they followed the first missionary approach of St. Francis, that is, to live quietly and give witness to Christ by caring for the holy places, caring for the Christian pilgrims, and studying Arabic. And throughout those years, having experienced few, if any, conversions from the Muslim populace of the city resulting from their quiet pastoral care, St. Tavelic and his colleagues decided to take a second missionary option given to them by St. Francis' rule of life, and that was to preach openly the Christian faith to Muslim population. And on November 11, 1391, St. Tavelic and his companions came before an assembly of Muslims. They pleaded with tact and eloquence that Christ and his religion be accepted by the Muslims in their hearts and in their homes. And before they had finished, they were apprehended and taken to the magistrates. And when questioned their faith, they joyfully professed their belief in the one true Church of Christ, defending it against every objection. This incensed the Muslim court. They were abused and tortured, thrown into dungeon, chained hand and foot, and kept for 3 days without food or water. And on the fourth day, they were taken out into the street, and refusing to recant their Christian faith, they were beheaded before a large crowd. Their bodies were burned to avoid their remains being venerated as martyrs by Christians. Now, these four Franciscans were canonized in 1970 by Pope Paul VI. They are the only Franciscans of the nearly 160 martyred in the Holy Land to be canonized. Saint Nicholas and his companions emulated Christ as he prayed from the cross before his human death, that into his hands, O Lord, I entrust my spirit. Saint Nicholas and his companions, like all our holy martyrs, provides us with a shining beacon, with our call to not be afraid as we acknowledge and proclaim Jesus openly and with faith and rest within his everlasting and immortal love and truth, knowing that he is always there with us, walking alongside of us, to be not afraid, to proclaim the faith with boldness, clarity, sincerity, and most especially with love.